Well. This is a quick apology ahead of today's episode because, well, we ended up doing an interview with Nick from Fears last week and it went pretty well. The audio was pretty good, but there might have been a setting on our audio recorders that you have to change when you're using lapel mics, and we might have forgotten to change it back. So, Rick, do you want to do some grovelling for us here?
What do you mean, me do grovel? You're in charge of the technical stuff. It's not doing me.
Well, how come, you
wait a minute, how
too.
Come I get blamed when it doesn't work? And it, oh, wait a minute, I just get blamed. Actually, I just, right, I'm going to take this. I understand I just get blamed. No matter what it is, I get the blame. So yes, I accept full responsibility here, now and forevermore for the sad, horrible audio quality of what you're about to hear and listen to. But hopefully the content's still pretty decent, so crack on. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Scottish Watches Podcast, episode 38. Oh, it's going to be a tough one, this. It's going to be... This is going to be like trying to figure out the plot line to Game of Thrones. Because we have so much...
You be careful, you.
They all die. We have so much to unwind from not Nick's episode, which was really popular, but from the episode before. There's quite a lot of stuff we need to go over because I don't know whether... I just don't know. I don't know whether I should do show...
Are we operating at a level above other people?
It would appear that certainly our show notes are...
Okay, so people don't actually... Our little sort of community test of, do people read the show notes? Or if they've got an issue, do they read the show notes before they complain about that issue?
The answer is categorically, no, they do not. So, let's try and explain a few things. This was an easy setup to begin with. However, because of a mistake we actually did make later in the podcast, it is kind of... The plots have twisted and intertwined, and it's all really rather confusing. Okay. So,
we'll cut to the chase.
Let's start
fill the listeners in.
Okay. Roger Moore died in 2017. He did not die just before our episode. What happened just before our episode was that online there was one of these... You know, normally people's death gets reported and it's fake. What happened this time was his death got... re-reported and everybody thought he had just died. However, from our point of view, we weren't recording a podcast 2 years ago when he actually passed away. We are recording a podcast now. So we thought, this will be a fun game. Let's pretend he has just died so that we can talk about all the James Bond watches. And then watch...
Well, and also, it's not a case of...
And Volvos.
He just died. It's a case of we said he died. You know, we said that we've got some bad news, you know, Roger Moore has passed away. Well, he had.
He had. It was
we
just...
Didn't say when.
It was 2017. So it gave us an excuse to talk about watches. And as it turned out, as a little soupçon, it also gave me the chance to talk about Volvos. So everyone's a winner.
It did.
Anyway, so we thought what would happen then is folk... would bombard us by going, what are you guys on about? Roger Moore died years ago. What are you playing at? We actually got, of the thousands of people that listened, we got two people that came back.
Three people that came back
and queried, I'm a bit confused. I thought Roger Moore died a couple of years ago. So, well done those. If you had read the show notes, you would have realised what we were up to. However, this was then made slightly more complicated by the thing that people actually did complain about that we got wrong. And what we got wrong was another... In fact, we should just call this the Scottish Watches movie show. which is, we said that Michael Douglas...
Hold on a minute. Who's this we?
Okay, you agreed.
I went along with it.
Oh, does that sound familiar, does it? So, I said...
What did you do?
I said that Michael Douglas, had been in a film that I was relating to your experience of being in McDonald's called Downfall, okay?
In fact, yep. Michael Douglas was in a film about trashing a McDonald's and all the rest of it. It wasn't actually a McDonald's. It was one of these fake burger chains that they invent for movie chains so as not to get sued by the Golden Arches. Was actually called Fall. Fall Down, not Downfall.
Falling Down.
Falling Down. I've got it wrong again. Falling Down. Oh, my God. Falling Down. I'll let you read the email from a certain listener in a second. And anyway, yeah. So Downfall is a movie about Hitler, mm-hmm. which was in my head because there's a scene in it where Hitler's given a row to all his cronies, which is used online for doing lots of online... is it memes or memes? I'm now completely confused. For doing lots of online videos.
It's the little video clips where you see Hitler yeah. and he's talking to his cronies around a table and he's like...
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
That's the one. And then yep. people put funny captions on the bottom. It's particularly yep. popular in the west coast of Scotland because two fans mm-hmm. Or fans of two football clubs in Glasgow like messing about with that bit of video to abuse each other's teams, players, management, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. So it's,
it happens everywhere. It happens when PlayStation are fighting against Xbox. It happens when Omega guys are fighting against Rolex guys. I've seen this used for everything, and it's always hilarious. We should run a competition where our listeners have to do this, us versus other podcasts or something. I don't know.
Yes, well, the reason why it was fresh or semi-fresh in my mind was I actually did do one of these, which I decided not to release into the world. And it was around the time of SIHH. And the release of the code 1159. And I think it's really funny. But I decided maybe not. So at the moment, that particular video relating to the Swiss watch industry and a film about Adolf Hitler and the release of a watch is staying in the warehouse. So yeah, maybe one
day. And aside to that is the actor that appeared in that actual Hitler film, he recently passed away. Actually did.
He did
recently
genuinely
pass away.
Pass away. That's yeah. correct. As did the actor that plays Chewbacca. Which brings us on to another topic that we need to clear up from the last episode. Okay, for the record, can we be clear...
Two episodes ago, can we be clear
that Darth Vader is Luke's father, that the shark mm-hmm. in Jaws dies, that E.T. does go home, that Bruce Willis is dead, and that Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze? Because we got complaints. We got complaints.
Did we?
That I had ruined Endgame for everybody, or at least
for one guy.
At least one guy who wrote us in a sternly uh-huh. worded letter to say, you're not a film show, you shouldn't be talking about films, you should be talking about watches, or words to that effect. So
you're not going
to
read the full thing?
I'm just looking, do I have it in front of me? I think I do, hold on. I was gonna pass over to you to read the email you received first from abusing me about Fall Down, but we'll do this first. So, come on about the spoiler, not cool. Not everyone can watch in the theatre. And this is a watch-related podcast, not Marvel movie. If you wanted to talk about it, do it at the end after the outro. Sorry.
Who's that from?
Jared. Maybe getting a mention in the podcast will help, if he's listening again. But maybe I've just ruined Star Wars and Jaws and The Shawshank Redemption, The Get Out, but Morgan Freeman dies, hangs himself.
Does he?
Doesn't he? Does Morgan Freeman not kill
himself?
He does. He kills himself.
I actually can't handle the freedom.
Can't handle
the freedom. That is the best film ever. That is definitely. I know everyone says, oh, it's the best film ever, but it truly is.
It isn't. It's a good film, but it's no High Fidelity, let me tell you.
I thought you were going to say it's no Moses.
Good old Charlton Heston. In charge. Right. It plays Moses and then is in charge of the NRA. It's a diverse world we live in. But there we go.
It is. So shall I read the next
yes,
letter?
Yes, you read the next letter. It's like points of view, this.
It is. Well, it actually starts off that way.
Oh, does it?
So to our complaints department, it says, dear points of view, imagine the horror that overcame me whilst listening to episode Who the F*** Knows of Scottish Watches podcast when Richard, Rick, TikTok, Ding-a-ling, whatever his f***ing name is, started to discuss Michael Douglas in the movie Downfall. Like a blind sheep, I excitedly followed your recommendation and acquired a copy of said movie. The synopsis of the movie was of a f***ing maniac in a portrayal of the sad mental breakdown of a middle management American defence engineer who has been denied access to his daughter on her birthday. This is where the horror came in. When I looked at the DVD cover, I was somewhat surprised to see a picture of the late Der Führer, Adolf Hitler, confronting his fate during the final weeks of the turbulent times known as World War Z, starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. I was literally falling down with rage at this editorial clusterfuck. Come on, Scottish Watches, you can do better. Sincerely, Mr. D. Sharp Esquire.
He's never been Mr. D. Sharp Esquire in his entire cream puff of a life. And
also known as Floatlight, a.k.a. Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien, yes, yes. That's going to make the show notes. Check it out. Have they ever been seen together? Conan O'Brien and Floatlight. Oh, I also have another apology to make. Because did I not get the... Okay, so I'm going to run through this again. It's Ariel Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And Ariel Atom. Yep. Atom.
The car.
Moore.
Roger the guy Moore. You talk for. Now, dead guy.
Who's Atom Moore's wife? I got her name wrong.
You tell me.
And I was told that that's a very, very bad thing to do.
Oh, no, here we go. I'll continue with the text message.
All right, okay.
From Esquire.
Esquire. That's going to stick.
Yes. And when you two were bantering about Atom's name, Rick called Kathleen Catherine. I laughed a lot.
Yes. So.
And I just replied with, well, he is an idiot farmer. So,
this is true. I hear we've been given nicknames that I am...
We have. You are Farmer Rick, mm-hmm. And I am City Rick, a.k.a. Jim and Dunder Rick.
Trading as...
Oh, it's madness. Anyway. Did you see the post I put on Instagram a couple of days ago? Well, yesterday, asking, you know, what ideas would listeners have for people we can get in touch with for guests for the show? It was good. It was a really good interactive post. And one of the replies that got quite a lot of hits was, why don't we get all Ricky's Tinder victims on the show at one time?
Yes, I did see that.
Didn't appreciate that one, but there you go.
I did notice that no one was really saying, oh, no, it's okay. You guys are plenty. We'll just have lots more episodes of just the two of you. I wept a little.
This is true. They wanted Floatlight back. They asked for the governor, which I'm not sure if it's the governor's governor or the governor.
Okay, who's...
They mentioned... What,
I think there was one that wanted a governor's governor versus governor.
Oh, right. But yeah, there were some good ideas in there. There are a few people we are in touch with at the moment trying to organise things. The problem we have is it's usually in a different... Oh, but there we go. I was going to say it's across time zones. So those guys will be getting involved, which is good. Look forward to that.
Yep.
We'll have to make sure they don't slag off any more potential guests that we've got lined up. That'll be cool.
I don't think they've noticed. Or maybe they're just ballsy enough that they don't care. They're going to take us on.
No, they don't care. They're just guys having a good laugh with things. It was just heat of the moment discussion.
The Clockbait guys have threatened us.
Threatened us?
Yeah, I told them that, you know, we were plenty able in Scotland to keep the Romans at bay. We'll manage it against two Essex boys.
Well, the last time people went up against a couple of Essex boys, they ended up dead in a Range Rover in a field.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
No, you don't know what that means?
Nope.
Moving swiftly on. the gangland killings?
Oh, like the Cray brothers? That kind of thing?
Newer than that. Oh, was it the Moor murder? I don't know what they called it. There's loads. Rise of a Foot Soldier, the film was about it.
Oh, right, okay.
You've got no idea what I'm talking about.
It rings a vague bell, but frankly, no.
Rings a vague bell. Look, why don't you just ignore that? Because the chances are, if you try and pipe in with any information, we'll have to correct it in the next episode.
That's true. I am making no comments. All my comments from now on will be secondhand. All opinions will be other people's.
So, lots of good ideas. We're in touch with a few people. We're going to be getting some people we've had on the show before coming back on, because it's good to get repeat guests. You know, things move along, things in their world, what they're doing with watches, what they're doing in the industry has changed. We've got some female guests coming on because people are obviously looking for male and female voices. And there's a few people in the industry that we're reaching out to just now, but we don't want to jinx it. But just keep your ears open and you'll be hearing some good stuff coming soon. So before we get any further on, we're nearly 15 minutes in. Time for a wrist check?
Yeah, you know you shouldn't bother asking.
Can you not, just dress pretend. Up for the occasion and wear something? No.
I actually had somebody come up to me at a Red Bar and say, ah, you're wearing the famous Panerai. Maybe my Panerai might go up in value if we keep doing this for long enough. It will become known as my Panerai. And
my Panerai.
I was going to say my delinquents. My benefactors will be able to auction it off for need enough RRP. Once I've worn it for long enough and become this really famous podcaster. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not.
Okay. So you're wearing a Panerai?
I'm wearing a Panerai. Sorry. Sorry, world. Somebody's got to. Just, they make loads of them.
Just shit. They do. I keep listening to podcasts and watching videos, just expanding my knowledge going back the way, because we've only been in this for a couple of years. And apparently Panerai were like the hot shit back in the 90s and the 2000s, and it just stopped.
Oh, they were absolutely, you know, they were absolutely coining it. You could literally buy a Panerai and it was like a Rolex. You could sell it for more than you paid for if you were on the waiting list. And then they kind of, a mixture of just people, A, seeing sense, and B, a Panerai made a few mistakes. I think they then kind of got caught up in their own zeitgeist and started producing limited editions. I mean, you think that AP with the Royal Oak Overseas and Omega produced limited editions. Back in the day, I think Panerai were just completely obsessed with it and trying to keep the market value up, and then the game was a bogey. So much that, yeah, they're just, I think they're getting back there. I mean, I don't think they'll ever get back to where they were, but you're certainly hearing many more people speak about them and wear them than previously, I would suggest.
Like yourself?
Like myself.
Yeah. Okay.
Shall we go over something from a previous show that we actually got right?
I was waiting for you to ask what I was wearing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, what are you wearing?
Jesus, do you just always sit there in your throne?
Always focused on myself.
Like Thanos.
On my iron throne. Because you know who's not going to get to sit on the iron throne? Daenerys. Not going to happen. She might get to touch it. She's not going to get to sit on it. It's my prediction. Go.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, I went on a little jaunt this week. Mm-hmm. Because for anyone that's not in Scotland, Scotland doesn't really get much sun. That's why we're all kind of grey and pale blue in colour.
Peely-wally.
And have peely-wally, vitamin B12 and vitamin D deficiencies all over the place. So that's generally the Scottish makeup. But I decided it was a lovely day and I could easily bounce some work from Monday to whenever. So I jumped on my bike and went from Glasgow down to Newcastle. Just because. And I decided to go on a little shopping expedition. And when I go to places, I like to pick up a souvenir, you know. Well, obviously not Newcastle isn't exactly a far-flung place, but I thought it was there anyway. And I spotted a really inexpensive Casio, which looks like a G-Shock, but it ain't, because it's only 50 metres water resistant, but it's a kind of white and black-faced plasticky thing, and it looked kind of Stormtrooper-esque, and it was 30 quid, and I thought, they're quite nice, I've been looking for a white watch, so that's what I'm wearing today. And for 30 quid, it's fine. And it just goes to show, you don't have to spend £500, £1,000, £10,000 on a watch just to have a bit of fun, a bit of enjoyment. So I've been wearing this the last few days because it's kind of summery and the sun's been out, and yeah. There we go.
And
happy days.
I hear that there's a certain American lady that's a bit upset about this watch.
Well, on my expedition, well, this is what happened. I got to Newcastle. I had no idea where the hell I was going. You kind of gave me some hints and tips on where to go. I missed where I was supposed to go, missed where you told me to go, ended up in the third road behind lorries and caravans, which for a Monday afternoon I thought was a bit odd. But on a motorbike, you're always looking for an overtaking opportunity. Obviously keeping within speed limits. So that was an interesting bit of road to get. I think it was A69. Went across there, got in. The first shop that I got into in Newcastle's Metro Centre, which is like the biggest shopping centre I've ever seen in the UK, was a second-hand Rolex place.
I am here. I'm just waiting for the baller line to drop. And,
line?
As in, you went to the Rolex, used dealer, and...
Okay, and... So there's me pulling in with full motorcycle gear, leathers, tinted visor, walking into a used Rolex place with a massive backpack. And if you thought the security guards up at Watches of Switzerland shat themselves, you have never seen girls shit themselves as much as a biker walking in with a tinted visor in his helmet. So, yeah, I don't think panic alarms were pressed, but I quickly realised that this was not a great idea and started to take my helmet off.
Uh-huh.
But no, they had, in their window, they had a whole load of nice stuff. I know we love going down to the Argyle Arcade in Glasgow and having a good shifty, but the stock's kind of similar, and when they sell something, they kind of replace the same kind of thing in the window with something similar. Down here, they had the Rolex two-tone oyster quartz.
Ooh.
In the window.
Ooh, very nice.
4.5K.
Right.
They had a... I have to be careful. It's been pointed out we talk about Rolex a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to mention other brands.
Got to feed the Google machine.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I said. So they also had a 2009 limited edition James Bond Seamaster box and papers, and a whole load of vintage stuff, and two Batmans in the window sitting at 13.5k each from a 2013 and a 2015.
Right, okay.
So the Watchfinder prices are about 1k over.
Yes.
And then these second-hand dealerships, you know, they vary. But they had some Everest straps, some rubber ones as well for sale. So I had a wee look at those. I've already got a blue one, and they had an orange one. And I thought, okay, 180 quid, went in. Have you got any of these? No, just the last one in the window. And I thought, I'm Scottish, chance mar. So they much of a discount will you do? So they took 30 quid off.
Cool.
So that wasn't too bad.
You good?
So that was my little expedition on Monday.
Tell me about the Oyster Quartz. Was it nice?
I didn't try it on. I was, because it was the first shop I came to, and I was sweating balls. I didn't want to try and take off my leather jacket, so I kind of stuck to it. And I wanted to sort of try, say, can I try that on? And it would be sweat dripping out the armholes and whatnot. So it looked lovely. I've got some photos. I'll pop them in the show notes.
I've never seen one, but I do quite like the idea of them.
Oh, I want one. I want one. I'm just scared of where the hell I would get it serviced. And if it was to go back to Rolex, how much of a pumping they would give me to service something like that. But yeah, I think they're cool. Actually, if something works out properly in the next couple of weeks, I may just go get one.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah, I'm not going to jinx anything. So that was that. Then I went for a wander. What the hell?
Hold on, my phone's ringing. Hold on, let's get rid of it. Hello. Not at the moment. I'm just in a conference call. So, yeah, okay. Tap, bye.
Sorry about that.
You're just in a conference call with 3,000 people, yeah?
Yes, yes. More than 3,000, surely. So, that's in the first 20 minutes.
Oh, of course, of course. So that was that. Then I went for a wander around this shopping centre. This is going to be another long wrist check.
Okay.
Went around this shopping centre. And again, as you're in different places, and I know it's not just me, because we've spoken to people at Red Barn, we've had emails and IG conversations. When guys and girls who like watches go to a shopping centre, go to a new city, they hunt out these places, different boutiques, different places. And I just went for a wander because it's a massive shopping centre. And I walked into the Tag boutique.
Right.
Where they knew nothing about Tag. And the guy was saying, oh, anything you're interested in? And I said, have you got the new Basel releases for this year? What are they?
Right.
I was like, okay, here we go then. So he didn't know about them. I said, how about the Tag Nanograph? What's that?
Right.
I was like, it was announced in January, no, oh, no, we don't know anything about that. I was like, okay, bye. So I left them, went across to Beaverbrooks.
Right.
And just had a wander, a young sales guy, pretty sharp dressed. I'm in biker gear, so I'm expecting some kind of resistance when I go into places. But no, he was dead nice. He's like, can I help you with anything? Just in to have a look around, no bother at all. Had a look at some new Orison. They had the latest Basel releases from this year. That was pretty quick. They had four or five new ones, which I'd kind of already seen when I was there, but it was nice to see them on display. And I spotted this chronograph, an Oris black chronograph. It looks like a Mont Blanc time walker, but it's really cheap. It's like two, I think it's 2.5 to 3 grand. The guy says, are you into your watches? And I said, yeah, it was over in Basel this year. Don't give too much information out.
You didn't say, do you not know who I am?
I said, do you not recognise this voice?
Close your eyes for a minute and let me whisper in your ear and see if you recognise me.
Exactly, exactly. So he was sort of saying, oh, you had to watch his usual story. I said, yeah, what have you got? I said, look at this, look at that. He says, oh, right, okay. And then by natural sort of reply, I said, what have you got, what are you wearing? And he rolls his sleeve up and he's wearing one of the brand new Pepsis on Jubilee.
Right, okay.
And I'm like, hold on, this guy's young. He's working as a sales guy in an AD who, yeah, they do sell Rolex, but it's a small part of it. And I said, when did you get this? I got it a couple of months ago. I was like, okay. So I had a look at it. The colours are better.
All
the new ones, we've talked about this before. Right. The Mark 1, the Mark 2, Pepsi, Steel Jubilee. It is nicer. It's still under artificial light. It's really difficult to tell the colours, but it is nicer. Oh my God, it wears amazing.
Right.
This guy had skinnier wrists than me, and it was a bit of a tight fit, but yeah, it was awesome.
Cool.
Wore amazingly well. So I talked to him about watches, told him about the website, and then he pulls out his phone and shows me photographs on his phone from the previous week where a customer had wandered in with a genuine barn find gold Daytona.
Oh, right.
This had been found in his grandparents' house in a wine cellar.
Wow.
In the box papers, receipt, everything, and it had a really strange bracelet. It was a kind of, it was obviously full gold, and it was a bark effect, but it was almost a presidential bark effect.
Right.
So I hadn't seen anything like that before, not that I'm up in vintage. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, the custard had been in and it had been taken to one of the auction houses and it sold for something like £150,000.
That's not a bad day in the work.
That's not bad at all. So it was a great little expedition down to Newcastle. Went into a few other ADs and stuff, had a look at this, had a look at that. But it's just good fun. Going, I know people love going to the arcade, and I just like popping into places and chatting with people. And on a Monday afternoon, they were dead, so they were quite happy to just talk watches for a little bit of time. So there's my wrist check.
Yes, yes. And I think it's always good to say that in the majority of watch shops, there are ADs that are selling reasonably high-end stuff. They don't sell a lot of watches every day, but they can have quite a number of staff. So by all means, just go in, tell them Ricky sent you, and just go and have a chat, because a lot of the time they're bored out of their brains because there's nothing going on. It tends to be feast or famine in a lot of these places, that it'll just get unbelievably busy on a Wednesday afternoon, but it'll be dead all day Thursday and Friday for no explicable reason. So
it's almost seasonal. It's like they're busy on a Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then in the summertime, people are on holiday or people are saving up to go on holidays. They don't do a lot. And then Christmas time, don't even try and talk to them.
So it's always worth popping in just to get yourself known and be honest. Just say that I am popping in because I'm not looking to buy any just now, but I might be in the future. Just looking to get to know folk, because you'll generally find that most of these ADs are staffed by people that also love watches. They're not just salespeople who could be selling anything. And actually, they quite like having a chat about watches. And you will also generally find that, unlike going and window shopping for computers or white goods, you might get a free cup of coffee at an AD if you try it. So there you go. My recommendation. Go and visit your AD. Love an AD. We've got Mother's Day and Father's Day, which I've love your AD day.
That could be a new thing.
There you go, jumping jalapeno. You've done Half Watch Tuesday. Next up, love your AD day.
Oh, I forgot something as well. I was just looking at my notes, because we actually have notes when we're talking about things.
Yeah, occasionally.
And the guy, occasionally, allegedly, the guy in the place that I meant, did I mention it? Did I say where it was?
The AD. Yes, you did. You did name them, and I noticed that you named them, and therefore wondered whether you were going to be able to tell the story that I know you really want to tell.
I think I got the name of the AD wrong, so this is
fine. Did you? All right, okay. Shall I whisper to you who you said it was?
Yeah, go.
You said it was Beaverbrooks.
Right, cool, because I got the name of the AD wrong that I was in with the guy with the Rolex.
Okay.
So I was talking to him, and it ain't Beaverbrooks, it's someone else, right? And he told me that their group, they're part of a big group, he says within, stop saying all the time, because that was annoying in the last episode. Even sternly looking at you across the table when Nick was there, you still didn't get the message to shut up.
Throwing things. But I like to make sure you know that. I like to make sure that you know I'm listening by going
Yeah.
Got to give me the audio
text. It's like a little rap going, you know, a little beatboxing session going there, Rick. That's the one. So this guy who doesn't work for Beaverbrooks told me that their group have got 150 Rolex GMT Master 2 116710 LNs, which is the black with the green accenting and the green GMT hand. They've got 150 of them in their storeroom.
That's the head office. They're discontinued, yeah?
That's a discontinued one that was retailing for about 6.3 new, and are now sitting on the used or the grey market for around about 9.10. They've got 150 of them sitting on them.
And you think they're just going to start dripping them into the grey market?
I don't know anything, but what he said was that they are sitting on them because they know they're going to go up in value, which seems kind of odd because they're a Rolex authorised dealer. They're supposed to sell the Rolexes. This is now a discontinued model. How does that sit?
Wonder what the rules are.
I thought the whole Rolex thing, especially when it's discontinued.
It is also entirely possible that the chap you were speaking to doesn't know what he's talking about, of course.
Well, he happened to have a new Pepsi Jubilee stainless steel on his wrist.
So you figure he might
know. Rolex AD.
You figure he might know one or two things.
He might know one or two things. Okay. He did actually tell me that he is the store's Breitling ambassador and he's got a free Breitling, but he doesn't wear it because he prefers his Rolex.
Okay, let's hope that nobody threw them information we've given can now trace this poor kid. Otherwise, he's going to be busted down to selling Daniel Wellingtons.
Well, they can go through the list of staff that work at Beaverbrooks and figure out that he ain't there. So we're all good.
Good stuff. Cool. So before I asked you what you were wearing, I did hint that actually in one of our previous shows, we got a couple of things right that I now feel we should report, or a couple of insights. So one is to do with Omega or Omega or whatever you call them.
Omega.
Is that the three variations?
Those guys.
Omega, Omega. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, we checked out their online pricing. And you noticed that when you added it to your outbox, to your cart, to your shopping cart, to check out, it added on about £400 from the price that was displayed on the website.
Dafty tax.
The pasty tax. That's right. And we discovered that this was not just, in fact, your imagination. This was actually a real problem. And we discovered why. And it was because when the entire Swatch group, and as I understand it, it was actually the entire Swatch group, when they updated their price listing, which they obviously update on the shopping cart part of their online retail operation, they forgot that on the pages of the website, the prices are static and not dynamic. So when they changed the database in the background, it didn't automatically change the prices on the home pages. So you could click on an Omega watch at £5,000, put it in your basket, go to checkout, and mysteriously it had added between, I think it was between 3 and 8% was what the price rise was. So yes, they very quickly cottoned on to that mistake, as you can imagine, but we just so happened to have managed to catch it as it was happening, which resulted in somebody from the good brand speaking to us and saying, yeah, actually, this was what happened. So I assume it's correct because of where I heard it from. But the other more important breaking news, and I'm still taking this with a bit of a pinch of salt, so this could prove to be an absolute piece of nonsense, is that we featured in the show notes a picture of Daniel Craig wearing the new Bond Omega. And as you'll have seen from all the advertising, there's a picture of him coming out of the water in his suit with his Omega on a rope or whatever it is that's the current advertising campaign for Omega. We've seen a picture of the new watch, but only from too far away distance to make out the detail. But our information tells us, I'm inclined to say it might be correct, it's a good chance, because we've heard it from two or three different people now. Now, it's entirely possible that one person has spoken to another and they've just gone around in circles, is that this is in fact not a Seamaster of any variety. It is in fact an entirely new name of watch that the next Bond will wear, or that this Bond will wear in the next Bond film. So there you go. Maybe you heard it here first, or maybe we are still talking nonsense. Who knows?
You done?
I'm done.
Okay. Yep.
You think that's acceptable?
I think so.
Yeah, we've not broken any confidences in revealing that. Don't think we're getting too much bother.
No, people are quite careful. There seems to be a level of trust now built up where 37 episodes in, people have listened, and things that we've been told, we don't mention if we've been told not to mention it, or if there's a time delay, an embargo or whatever, we will wait, because we don't care. You know, we're not in this, we're not getting paid to do any of this, it's just a laugh, it's a giggle, it's a hobby. So if someone tells us something, we're not going to try and release a scoop to try and gaze up everybody else and get ad revenue or whatever. So, yeah, we get told stuff and it's always with the proviso in the end of it. If someone says, this isn't for the podcast, then this doesn't go in the podcast, and they know fine well if they tell us something, they don't say that, then it is for the podcast.
I will, however, give you a voucher code to get £100 off a Christopher Ward if you want it.
Okay, what's the code?
The code is 100SUN19, and if you use that between now and the end of next month, you can get £100 off if you spend £500 or more. So there you go. Have Christopher Ward sent us anything yet?
No.
So, of all the media channels based in the UK that got a Christopher Ward watch sent to them for their brand new Trident release, did anybody else get one?
Everybody.
I mean, literally everybody got one. Did we get one?
No.
Have we interviewed Christopher Ward?
Yes.
Have we just plugged their voucher code?
Yes.
Then let this be a message to Christopher Ward. You better start sending us freebies.
Well, to be fair, we are in talks with them. They are sending out one of their Trident something or others.
I don't think that they make Adrian jump through the hoops they're making us jump through.
But he's a nicer guy.
This is almost certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think video makes a difference? Do you think we need to take this to YouTube?
No, I think we've got a good niche here. We seem to be doing pretty good in it. And there's so many people on YouTube doing a great... Well, some people aren't doing such a great job, but there's a lot of people doing a great job on YouTube. Leave them to it.
There does seem to be...
As long as they don't start coming into the whole podcasting side of things and the website side of things and coming up to Scotland. Oh, shit. Doing all that, isn't he? Yeah, let's do some videos.
Yeah, actually, stuff like Adrian. Game on, sunshine.
Game on. Two versus
like,
one.
Like those cockbait numpties, we fought the Romans. We'll keep you lot out. I
just need to build another wall.
Just need to build another wall made of Omega boxes. We'll get float. Like, he's probably...
Have we got any watch news to talk about?
He's probably got a big enough collection. Have we got any watch news? We do have a smidgen.
Well, hold on a sec. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the clockbait, guys,
yep.
Did you see they kind of just owned Half Watch Tuesday?
Yes. I've just been sent the draft. Not only did they produce the first Half Watch Tuesday video last week, but they have now literally halved the watch. Not pretended.
You have.
Although, while they get 10 out of 10 for effort, it was a fake tag. Had it been a real tag, instant 11 out of 10. But it was a fake. But it was still pretty impressive.
Oh, I didn't read it much about it. I just saw they had a watch. They had an angle grinder. Mm-hmm. And now they've got two halves of a watch.
They have. And the challenge does that... I can't remember how it went out. Basically, there's been some messaging that we couldn't do a better job or something like that. And them, of course, forgetting that I happen to own a lot of very heavy machinery, whereas they're using angle grinders from B&Q. I'm fairly confident that if we can get some watches that are worthy of destruction, we can come up with some pretty heavy-duty ways of doing it in comparison to just using a wee pesky 6-inch, 4-inch angle grinder.
I like the way they did that. It was guy, foot, trainer, yes. Watch, angle grinder, hands.
I was thinking it was going to be, because I think it was a baseball boot, it wasn't going to offer any protection. It was shortly going to be big toe, angle grinder, and he has, I think it's...
And A&E.
A&E. Anthony, I think it was Anthony that was messaging me, and he was suggesting that I think they've actually bought... Maybe this is something we're not supposed to say. That case, then you shouldn't have told us. I don't know if you've seen the latest review where Luke reviews, is it an F91? Is that the Casio?
Oh, Casio.
The Bomber's watch.
Yeah.
Where he reviews that, and Anthony's just like, I can't even do it with this, I'm leaving. And I can't believe I spend my time and money putting this production together to review this watch. Anyway, so Luke's refusing to let him destroy it. So as I understand it, they've gone and they've bought one to actually destroy. He messaged me as to how they were going to destroy it, and I have pointed out a couple of flaws that may result in an explosion. So hopefully they will vary their method of how they were going to do it, so that they don't send the watch careering through the petrol tank of a car, causing death and destruction, much like how the watch can be generally used to blow things up. So it would be a shame. It would be a shame for Clockbait to just end up being Luke and or Anthony, as opposed to both. I suppose they could replace one of them with a dog. The dog clearly knows at least as much as both of them. So
I hear there's some talent out in Nashville looking for a podcasting gig these days because of reasons.
Because we've rejected her.
Ah, that's what it was.
didn't pass it.
We get her back on.
We do. To be fair, we do. I'm missing her.
Her dial-up is fixed.
Is it?
So audio quality should be better. She won't be using Real Player anymore.
We're not doing it by semaphore.
she ships over her wax cylinder. And we incorporate that in the
dash dash. Anyway, talking of watch news, because that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing. JLC. What do you know about JLC?
I know that nobody can pronounce the name properly.
Oh, now who?
I know people call it Jaeger.
I know who it
they
is.
They call it... Oh, everybody. Nope. We've had people on the podcast calling it Jaeger. We've had it Jaeger LeCoultre.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. I think Tim Moss is the closest to it, but when I went to SIHH last year, their then CEO did a presentation, and I was sitting in the audience just listening to it, and I heard him say the name a few times. So I've kind of got a decent enough handle on it. Mm-hmm.
Give it your best
shot.
It's
Jaeger LeCoultre.
Okay.
That's what he says it. But I need an accent, probably.
That doesn't sound like words. I'm remembering the guy that says it the best is actually Ryan Schmidt. You need to go back to whatever episode it is, and he breaks into as broad an accent as he can every time he says it. and that's because he owns one. I think he feels somehow subservient to it and that he must say it properly. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know, maybe it gets confiscated.
So what do I know about JLC? I know that they are good. Mm-hmm. I know that Tim Mosso used to have a massive collection. Yes. And then sold them all because he needed to get back to his roots and start spending time with his family or something. It was some kind of weird story he kept telling us.
I think he's given that up. He's going back. I think he's going to... I reckon he's going to buy the DB Thune, the new dive watch. I think he's going to buy that. It's about 70 grand's worth. I think he's either going to buy that or maybe a Ulysses Nardin, but I think he's going to get back into collecting. And I think he might just buy an absolute grail watch and it'll maybe be that DB Thune.
Okay. Great story, bro. Back to JLC. Cool story, bro. Back to JLC. So I know that I actually quite liked a lot of their older stuff because Tim would always bring these things on his different YouTube shows on Watchbox Studios, and there was like the Anvox 2, there was Master Compressor. There are ones in the past I really like to look of. The current range that I see in the shop windows, they all kind of look a bit humdrum.
Mm-hmm.
Reversos, this, and internal movements used within APs, that. So yeah, that's what I know about them. Cool. And they've decided to up their game, haven't they?
They have. They are going to an 8-year warranty. Apparently. So the best you can get at the moment, here's an interesting list for you. So the list of people that offer 5-year warranties just now are Omega, Rolex, and do you know who the third one is?
Squally.
Ann Ordain, our very own Scottish watches, Ann Ordain, 5-year warranty. And I actually think you might find that Ann Ordain were the first to offer a 5-year warranty. Or at least let's big them up that it was them. I think they have offered a 5-year warranty since they started. Now, I don't know, how long have Omega been doing 5 years?
About a year.
And Rolex?
Last July. Two or three years.
So they might have beaten
three
Rolex.
Years.
So
3 years.
I think for the purposes of watch history, we should just say that Ann Ordain were the first, can we call them mass manufacturer? Probably not. The first major manufacturer to give out a 5-year warranty. If you know different, we don't care. So yes, JLC are going to an 8-year warranty, which is great, lovely. Rumour has it that it's actually a kind of motivated from a slightly ulterior motive, which is that because they went through a bit of a boom a few years ago, they're actually now getting so many watches in for servicing at this period, 5-6 years after they really took off again, because, you know, a number of years ago, JLC sold a lot of movements, but didn't necessarily sell a lot of their own watches. They now are very much more focused as part of Richemont Group on selling JLC watches as opposed to just selling movements to other manufacturers. That actually they now have such a busy service centre that the easiest thing for them to do, the cheapest thing for them to do, is just to adapt what they're doing, lubricants, etc., and push the warranty out to 8 years, because actually they know it'll last fine because it's high quality watchmaking, and that will slow down the coming back in of that they would predict for watch servicing, so that they don't need to invest a shed load of money on watchmakers to be dedicated to servicing watches.
So is that not just kicking the can down the road, though?
Well, not if actually they don't need to. My suspicion would be that a JLC, well looked after, is perfectly capable of lasting 8 years without a service as it stands just now. Maybe they've done some lubrication altering, because that's what it is. It's all to do with lubrication and, you know, silicon escapements and all this kind of nonsense. I suspect that actually they probably last fine for 8 years as it is.
Right, you're not getting a little bit confused there with servicing interval compared to a warranty period.
Yeah, but that's the point. The point is that by making the warranty period 8 years, it stops them coming back for service because it's always within the warranty period and it's our service centre that's getting really, really busy. So if they push the warranty right out, it means that folk don't send in for service after 3 or 5 years or 2 years when the warranty runs out. They don't go, it's not keeping time, I'm sending it back. So as they get it, effectively a free service within the 2 or 5-year warranty period. By pushing the warranty out to 8 years, it pushes, if you've got a warranty for 8 years, unless you really know that the watch is running slow or fast significantly, you're not going to send it in after 5 years. You'll wait till 8 years because it'll be away for 4 months probably. So yeah, by pushing the warranty out, as I understand it, it's partly to slow down the speed that they come in for service, because folk will just not send them in for service immediately before the warranty period's out. So,
Well, I don't know. I know that different brands and different owners have got different thoughts on it.
Yes.
Because a Rolex owner will kick the arse out of it and not service it until there is a problem, mm-hmm. which is the kind of way I would go.
Yeah.
And some people, you've read, what is it they say? It's unofficially, Rolex say 10 years between services mm-hmm. for general use. If your watch is in daily rotation, you don't drop it, you don't duff it up. Mm-hmm. And the warranty's 5 years. Mm-hmm. Whereas APs, it's a case of get it serviced every time you change your bed sheets, just on the safe side. And Archie always makes comments about the amount of time it takes and the amount of cost that is involved in getting an AP serviced and how fragile they are. Uh-huh. So that's quite an interesting take on it. Could be right. Or it could be they're just trying to elevate themselves above and have a talking point. Because Omega made a bit of a song and dance about the 5 years, although they couldn't really go it down on it because they were just falling behind Rolex. But to jump to 8 years, mm-hmm. that shows that you've got a lot of belief in your manufacturing process, your QC, and all those kinds mm-hmm. of things.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
That is interesting.
So that's some watch news. Do you want some more?
You like football, don't you?
I do. Why?
Did you hear about... I know nothing about football, right? So I'm about to fall over badly.
Yes.
But...
this is a good story.
There was apparently a guy involved in FIFA, and FIFA to me is a computer game, and he got booted out, and he went, I left some watches in my drawer in the office, can I get them? And he was told, no.
Yes.
So do you have more information on this story?
I think I've picked up enough. I don't actually have the information in front of me, but I think I can probably fill in the gaps for you. So it's well known that during the tender process for World Cups, that each of the country representatives of the home football associations tend to get lavished with a number of gifts in order to watch influencers. These are actually watch influencers. The watches are being given, for instance, to important people within FIFA who get to vote on where the World Cup's going to be. And the World Cup obviously makes a shed load of money for football associations, and there's all the kudos and getting awards for stuff from your home governments for bringing it home and all this kind of nonsense. So during the World Cup bid process, which resulted in... now let me get this right... so we've got 2022, so we had 2018, which was Russia, and 2022, which is the Middle East. Where's it going? It's going to, I'm going to look this up. Is it Oman? It's not Oman. Sorry, you need to edit this out because my phone's going to be, how come it always does this that I don't have any signal in the one time I want a signal? You got your iPad. Can you look up where the 2022 World Cup is?
It says here that the World Cup in 2022 is going to be in Govan.
They wish.
Qatar?
Qatar! The Qatar World Cup. So they ran the bid process for the Russian World Cup and the Qatari World Cup at the same time, thus doubling the ability mm-hmm. for two governments and agencies who might be known not necessarily to follow the general expected rules of diplomacy, opportunity. And as part of this, and historically before, because there were obviously other countries bidding for it that were trying to get the World Cup, watches used to be used as a way of greasing the wheels. And I think in particular, Parmigiani's and Hublot's. Was it Hublot's? Mm-hmm. I think it was. Were given, and Sepp Blatter, the now disgraced head of FIFA, when he was got into trouble and there's all sorts of lawsuits and stuff going on there, removed, I think it was 130 watches he was found with that he claims are his personal watches, as opposed to watches that he was given by certain federations trying to buy influence at the FIFA table. So yes, there is a shed load of very expensive Parmigiani, Hublot's, and no doubt a whole load of other expensive watches kicking around. I've not actually seen if there's a public list of what they are. If there is, I'll find it and I'll stick it in the show notes. But yes.
The one I'd heard was that there were 65 Parmigiani watches worth $25,000 each.
Right, okay.
That had disappeared, and only 48 have been recovered.
I was going to say, what would a £25,000 Parmigiani watch retail be worth used? 11? 12?
Pounds? Probably.
Melted down for the gold content? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
That was another interesting thing. I think there was a show Tim had the other day that said that gold is now worth substantially more than platinum, raw material-wise.
Yes, and yet platinum watches always carry a higher premium than gold watches.
Mm-hmm.
So both have gone up. The gold has gone up to reflect the gold price, but the platinum price has actually fallen in relationship to gold, because platinum used to be more expensive than gold, but now it's not. And yet platinum watches are still even more expensive. So just talking about precious metals and stuff. Did you watch, and actually Watchbox, Mike McMichaels did a show, and where he came out with this Easter egg, which is that all meteorite watch styles come from the same meteorite. Now, I've not been able to check this, because I was surprised, just because the quality difference is so much. But he said it, so I'm sure he believes it, and he certainly knows more than I do. So no matter what you buy that's got a meteorite dial, it all comes from the same meteorite apartment. So I will see if I can check the validity of this claim. But it was on Watchbox did a review of different dial types, and he was on there talking about it. So I thought that's something I hadn't heard before. Maybe if Schmidt is listening, he can tell us if that's right or not.
Well, Mike Michaels is coming over later on to the house for a bit of a refresher course.
Yeah, so right, okay.
I'll ask him to confirm
cool,
that.
That'd be okay.
That's fine.
So, Reservoir. Do you know what a Reservoir watch is? You seen them?
Yep.
Right, one of my favourites. So, they're...
retrograde kind of instrument cluster style.
Retrograde minutes and jumping hours with a fancy power reserve on it. So, they've had a really good Baselworld by all accounts, and are now actually selling loads of watches. The French company, I think, they submitted their Longbridge Reservoir watch as part of the GPHG Awards last year. I think it got to the final, I think. It maybe didn't, it maybe just got to the long list, but it's a cracking watch. Very competitively priced for what they are, in my opinion. Well worth a look if you can find them. They are now selling many more in the UK. So have a Google of Reservoir watch. I particularly, as you know, like different time-telling methods other than just two or three hands, and that is quite a funky way of doing it. Second one, just to give a shout out to, hopefully you've seen this watch because it is a thing of beauty, is this Laurent Ferrier Tourbillon Grand Sport, which is not only a beautiful looking watch, but is right up there in the stealth wealth stakes in that it's got a tourbillon that you cannot see from the front. It is definitely their attempt to take on Patek at the whole sports watch game. And to be honest, if it was between this and a Nautilus, 5711, Aquanaut, whatever, of the complicated variety, and money was no object, I think I'd go for the Laurent Ferrier. It looks absolutely stunning. And then another, as a quick sight through, brand that was represented at this year's GPHG is Singer, who have got these Singer chronographs, which are a completely different way of using a chronograph rather than having like whole modes of subsector dials that uses the centre, and then you tell the chronograph by reading to the outside. Very cool. Really quite expensive, but interestingly they are now selling directly out of Philips, the auction house. They're going to have, I don't know how it's going to work, I don't think it's actually just effectively a concession that somebody from Singer is staffing up, or if it's actually Philips auction house themselves are going to staff this thing up. And then finally, but definitely if you're down that way in London, if I'm ever down there, I'm definitely going to pop in and see these in the flesh. They look cracking. And then finally, one that I have a bit, I'm not quite sure what to make of these, which is Bamford London, with these very expensive take on Swatch, effectively. They're just really bright coloured watches. Check it out. I'd be interested in your opinion. They claim that this...
Of mine or listeners?
Sorry, well, of yours if you happen to have one, if you've seen
them. Is this Bamford the guy that does the customization for Zenith, used to do custom Rolex?
Yes, the JCB Bamford.
And he's now selling watches that are a bit shit looking?
Well, there's two, I think there's two bits to it. So there's Bamford London, and this is the kind of quartz side, and then there's the Bamford, I don't know if it's just the Bamford Design House, whereby they will customise a Rolex or a Zenith into funky colours that you like and charge you 20 grand over list or whatever it is for the privilege. I mean, oh, I think they're quite cool looking, I wouldn't buy one. But this is them, I assume the same people, trying to break into the fashion stroke swatchy type, micro brand esque type watch. It's just watches all in very bright colours, £300 or £400. When you could buy a Swatch that's probably automatic, way cooler for half that price, I think I'd probably stick to the Swatch. They claim that these were watches that are inspired from the from the service watches they would hand out to customers. I'd love to see what service watches were that they actually did hand out to customers, because I think if I handed in a platinum Daytona and was handed back a bright orange quartz to wear while my Daytona was in for a service, I'd probably say, first of all, no thanks, because I've got more than just a Daytona. I've got several other things sitting at the home, possibly. Or
many other ladies' watches.
I can go and wear my wife's watches. I just think it's a strange... I mean, I think they look pretty cool. They're quite expensive. I just don't get the idea of telling this story that these are inspired by service watches. I'd like to check the veracity of that claim. So if anybody has ever had their watch in for service, or if Mr. Bamford wants to come and tell us all about it, we'd be pleased to make his acquaintance. So there you go, that counts as...
He might be listening to this episode, spitting teeth.
You couldn't not, could you? You couldn't resist. Anyway, so that counts as watch news in my book.
Cool, well that is us, because we're running long. So, yeah.
You want to tell everyone?
If you want to check out Instagram. And,
yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be quick.
You tell
Instagram,
everyone
you know what it is. Check out the show notes, it'll tell you where the website is, Instagram. Like, subscribe, tell your friends. Leave us a review on iTunes, blah, blah, blah. That's us.
Oh, and go to YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. We are barely ahead of Clockbait Boys on YouTube subscribers, which is fine because we only have audio and they have video, but I'd like to try and keep ahead for a bit longer. So if you listen to this, even if you have no intention of ever listening to us on YouTube, subscribe just so that we can keep ahead of those guys. So check us out on YouTube. So with that, goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
No.